now at Black Bear Diner. Enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak. The savory tri-tip benedict. The hot honey crispy chicken. The colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
So there's no right to be forgotten. All we're dealing with is how do we handle difficult, wrong, inaccurate, inconvenient public information.
This is your host, Scott Bertram, and that's John J. Miller, director of the Dow Journalism Program here at Hillsdale College. We'll talk with John today about the so-called right to be forgotten and some newspapers and publications across the United States that are adopting such a policy. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Scott.
Talking today about a story I saw earlier in the year, and apparently it's what I call it a trend, but it is developing out there, a right to be forgotten policy in journalism. The Chicago Sun-Times has a new policy, so does the Boston Globe, the Plain Dealer in Cleveland, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. What is a right to be forgotten policy?
Scott, I want to start off by saying there's no such thing as a right to be forgotten. This is the kind of rights talk that we can sink into where everything is a right and so forth. But there is a notion here, an important idea here worth talking about, which is the desire for people to have information removed or attempted to have removed from the internet. And it can be maybe inaccurate information. It can be things they just don't like about themselves, perhaps. And so there's a response to this both at the government level around the world and also at an individual level, maybe with an individual publication. Do people have a quote-unquote right to be forgotten, or at least a claim that perhaps they should have an ability to have information deleted, erased, eliminated, so forth?
So these newspapers are saying for certain people in certain situations, they will remove these stories for various reasons. We'll talk about it in a moment. Are these stories generally deleted entirely? Are they simply removed from being searchable? And is there really a difference in this day and age?
It can be all of the above. And so if we think back to what journalism and the media was like before the internet, if a newspaper printed an inaccuracy, the next day or the next week, you might get a correction published in the newspaper. And that often feels inadequate to the person who had the original complaint, but that really that's your only recourse.
Yeah.
And so there'd be this kind of give and take, and the correction would appear, and the record is corrected, but the whole record still exists, including the original mistake, which is forever on printed paper, maybe later on a microfilm or whatever. With the internet, you have a unique ability to take information down, just to remove a website or maybe delete a line from a story. And so it's also true that there's really no such thing as completely eliminating anything from the internet.
Right.
But you can certainly make it harder to find. You can take it off your website. You can make it unsearchable. There are lots of things that an individual publication can do to correct the record. And so lots of publications have their own policies for how to deal with these kinds of problems. Some will make a correction and then note that a correction has been made at the bottom of a web page. Others will just fix it and you'll never know. If you go back to it thinking, I want to find that error, bearer again. It won't be there. Where did it go? It has vanished. There may be ways of recovering that if you're especially good and diligent at digging, but the idea is to make it harder to have information live forever.
The Sun-Times policy says if you're the subject of a past article about an arrest or accusation that was later disproved, dismissed, or expunged, you can fill out this form. They'll go through a process. So that concept, is that something worth considering, exploring for journalistic outlets?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, and I think different outlets should have their own policies for this kind of thing, because sometimes a publication makes an egregious error. And that ought to get corrected, or at least we have the technological capability to correct it and make it go away mostly. And so individual publications that have policies like this ought to look at what they can do and probably handle them on a case-by-case basis, because circumstances matter, particulars matter, and so on. Where this gets difficult is not when you're dealing with, you know, a false accusation or a case of libel or near libel or something like that. What if there's something just kind of inconvenient?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote a letter to the editor 10 years ago in which I supported Democrats and today I'm a Republican.
Sure.
Or I used to be for free trade, now I'm against it. Where your view has changed and you want that to go away, that becomes a bigger kind of problem. And of course, we're sympathetic to this kind of thing at a certain level because we live in an age of cancel culture and the idea that your past words can be used against you. And maybe you're trying for a promotion at a law firm and you're embarrassed by a thing you said in a newspaper 5 years ago and would like that to go away. That raises a different kind of concern because we're not dealing with accuracy or inaccuracy. We're dealing with inconvenience.
Who's ineligible to apply? Again, under the Sun-Times standards in Chicago, it says current or past elected or public officials or people seeking public office, with the rationale being that we should know everything possible about people who want to represent us. Should that or should that not extend to other professions in which we are entrusting people? I'm thinking specifically perhaps about teachers. We entrust them with our children for hours a day, weeks on end. Should they be eligible to have things like this expunged from the record?
That's a great question. It shows why these are so hard to adjudicate. And this is all connected to a kind of right to privacy, right? This is not a right to privacy because a right to privacy involves information that has not already become public, usually, when we think about a right to privacy. Do public figures have a different kind of right to privacy than private citizens? And the answer is yes. They get more scrutiny because they have entered the public arena, and that comes with a kind of cost here, in a sense, or at least a vulnerability. The right to be forgotten, the quote-unquote right to be forgotten, is about information that's already public.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been released. It's already been out there. And now it's removal.
In the discussion about this sort of maneuver by publications, I can't help but think of the NCAA and what they do with championships and games that are won by programs that are then deemed ineligible. They did something wrong. There were recruiting violations. We strip all this from their record. Okay, but we all saw it happen. Those games were played. There was a winner and loser, and the NCAA wants to tell us that never happened. Are you concerned about that in the realm of journalism, in which something did happen? There was an accusation. There was some sort of indictment, and the paper's saying, well, no, it didn't really happen.
Well, an indictment is a public record. That's important that we would know that there's a particular legal move, and you can presumably read the full thing. You can find out what happened. Was there a case where charges dropped, and so on, and that feels like it ought to be a part of the record. But it also shows why there's no right to be forgotten. You can't tell me to forget that a team won a championship and then had its championship removed. I can't forget that. I might try to forget that. I might want to forget that, but I can't forget that. So there's no right to be forgotten. All we're dealing with is how do we handle difficult, wrong, inaccurate, inconvenient public information, and do we have technological tools that allow us to maybe improve the public record, I think is one way to look at it. And the best way to handle this is to let individual publications, their publishers, their editors, deal with this problem on a case-by-case basis.
So far here in the U.S., it is a private matter. These are private institutions, newspapers, outlets deciding this is going to be our policy. Elsewhere, though, around the globe, governments have become involved or want to become involved, perhaps in the EU and a few other places. What are governments outside the U.S. doing on this topic?
Well, the European Union has some rules regarding this. Argentina and the Philippines apparently have some rules as well. And I'm not an expert on what they're saying, but what the trend is for governments to get involved in this. And should we have public agencies making rules that publications and websites and so forth then will have to live by? That strikes me as a problem. That strikes me as a difficult thing to do and might just make the mess even worse.
John J. Miller is director of the Dow Journalism Program here at Hillsdale College as we discuss the right to be forgotten, quote unquote, policies from some publications. You can go back and read about the Sun-Times policy at suntimes.com. John, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks, Scott.
Up next, Megan Basham joins us. She's from the Daily Wire. She'll discuss a lecture given here on Hillsdale's campus and her upcoming book, Bad Shepherds. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, it's Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road, and we're excited to celebrate our fourth anniversary here at Laux Landscape Supply. So October 20th through the 29th is your chance to save big on products like 50-pound Dimension Pre-Emergent, on sale for $32.99 a bag, or our popular Garden Power Soil for only $51.99 a yard. Great timing to put in sod, and it's on sale as low as 71 cents a square foot. Or how about the new Mocha Lava Rock, reduced to $79.99 a yard? Building a patio or walkway? Artisan Slate Favors are on sale for $3.99 a square foot. Ranger Pro Concentrate in a 2.5-gallon jug is only $79.99, and even cheaper if you buy two. These are just a few of the items you'll find on sale at Laux Landscape Supply October 20th through the 29th at the corner of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Give us a call at 530-378-2220. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com, or just come see us at 6023 Turn Creek Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota VX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota VX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to check out podcast.hillsdale.edu. That's the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. Find older episodes of this program, plus other fine Hillsdale podcasts like The Larry Arn Show, Imprimis, and the Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast, all at podcast.hillsdale.edu. We're joined by Megan Basham. She is culture reporter at The Daily Wire. You can find her work at dailywire.com and on X, formerly Twitter, at Meg Basham. Megan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've loved seeing your campus.
You're in the midst of a book on religion. You're giving a lecture, a talk here at Hillsdale, also on religion. Your Twitter X bio says, unabashed church lady.
Yes.
You wrote that church not only sets you on a path to sanctification, but it also equipped you to be a productive citizen and a person fit for self-government. Those are big things. Yep. Why was church able to do that for you when nothing else did?
Well, that's a miraculous part of it, right? That it is not a self-help program. It's something truly transformative in redemption. It's not, you know, we're just going to give you a little program that's going to make you better on the outside. It is really soul transforming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, as you read that, I'm like, you should just go read this essay that's in First Things, because I am really good on paper. But yes, I mean, and I think as you look back and you see the founders talk about these things, they knew that. I mean, it's become a cliche, but the John Adams quote that, you know, government only fit for a moral and religious people.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, because if you do not have a moral people, then they are given to that sort of hedonism and self-interest. You can only have a people who, even if it's cultural, I think, you know, on the one hand, yes, you have a lot of truly redeemed people, but then you have a lot of people who also, because of that salt and light, their culture is preserved. And if we're not, you know, performing that preservative role, then you see just a very quick cultural degradation. And I think that's mm-hmm. where we are. So for that reason, you learn to care about family, and then you can get into a really quick cycle that I think we're seeing of grievance and how have I been wronged,
mm-hmm.
other than how have I wronged and been forgiven. So it just really transforms your focus.
Talking with Megan Basham of The Daily Wire at dailywire.com. She's here on Hillsdale's campus giving a talk, Bad Shepherds: How Evangelical Leaders Are Smuggling Leftism Into the Church. We hear advice often, go find a church, mm-hmm. go to church. Get to church. Should we be more specific with that request?
Yes, you should. In fact, you know, kind of one of the big things I close out this upcoming book that I have coming out, hopefully in the new year here, is don't give your attention and your money to those who are using their pulpits and their ministry platforms to, you know, push political agendas rather than teaching scripture and sound doctrine. And we're seeing a ton of that. And yes, do go to church, but be discerning in the churches that you're going to. And I also want to say that, look, I don't think, you know, every pastor who gives himself over to maybe fear of man or compromise with the trends is necessarily a wolf or something like that. You can't go to this church. I have a good friend who was sort of telling me, after going to some churches where there were some very unsound things happening, he went to a church that was sort of not sure what to think of, like, the Black Lives Matter movement. And he challenged them. He talked to these pastors. Look, they don't know everything. And sometimes you may have more information about that. And he very charitably, they went to coffee. They talked it over. And that church kind of came to see, not like we're going to tell you what to think about this issue, but you know what? Let's just preach the word. Let's stick to scripture. And if we do that, that is going to be the best thing we can do to help people know what they should do with their politics and with, you know, particular social questions. We don't need to dictate to this from on high. What we can do is let their minds be saturated with scripture, and that's going to do its work. I don't need to do that.
You wrote in that First Things piece that evangelical leaders are being deceived, creating an extra biblical class of sins in progressivism, which I love that line. Is there a sense that there's a desire on behalf of the government to, and I'll use the word, infiltrate churches
and leverage them to enact policy goals. Is that what's happening here in some level?
Yes. Sure. Yes, that's absolutely happening. That's not in question. In fact, I can tell you, just like a couple of weeks ago, I watched a presentation from the head of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association?
Administration.
NOAA. Okay. Administration. Yeah. Thank you. NOAA, who directly said, you know, in the past, we haven't made churches a priority getting involved with them. We're going to change that going forward, particularly on the climate change issue, that we are going to make that a part of our program to work with faith-based groups to help them educate their people on how important this is and how important it is to address it. Well, look, that's sort of generic, but we know what that means, right? It means not drilling. It means, you know, levying higher taxes on gas, joining the Paris Accords, things like this. So, I mean, so they talk about it very vaguely, but it has real policy meaning. And on top of that, I mean, I can give you just one anecdote. I mean, last year, one of the large seminaries in the Southern Baptist Convention, and for those who don't know this, they educate a plurality of all Protestant ministers in any denomination. So good odds that, you know, even if you're Anglican or non-denominational or whatever it may be, your pastor may have gone through one of these seminaries. They had a speaker in who literally, not exaggerating, encouraged the students to buy carbon credits to show their love for creation. And I watched it and went, you're selling indulgences. That's what's happening right here. So that was shocking to me to go, we're going to have a seminary professor come in and tell them that, you know, the best thing to do for your Christian witness is to buy carbon credits. To me, that should not be a thing that you go to seminary to learn.
There's a fervor with which many climate activists act that is often compared to religion, a religious fervor that they have. Does the left understand that power? And is that one of the reasons they're, I mean, some on the left would have very bad things to say about churches, but they understand the power of what church can accomplish by focusing energy and that fervor. And if they can change the focus away from those things that, again, really are in danger of harming us to these things, these other things, they understand how that power can be leveraged, right?
Yeah, and I would say you actually see a very sort of distinct tipping point, maybe in the early 2000s, where you started to see some of these progressive groups like George Soros's Open Society Foundation talk about faith in a very different way. Rather than seeing them as an opponent to be defeated, you started to see in their own internal documentation, they began talking about how do we instead co-opt them as part, quote unquote, partners. So I think that was smart. And it, you know, it's really interesting too, when you see it in other countries where it's, the books are maybe more open. There was a large liberal foundation, for example, in Ireland that talked very openly about how they kept running into the wall of Christianity on the question of gay marriage there. And they said, the only way we're going to be able to do this is instead of trying to fight them, we get people in those churches moving this discussion and moving this agenda. And I don't have the quote in front of me, but it wasn't like something they hid. It was, and in that case, it was the Catholic Church. They were saying, we have got to get people in Catholic churches as opposed to people who are just critical of Catholic churches. Hmm. And so that's what they did.
Megan Basham, you can find her work at the Daily Wire, dailywire.com, and book hopefully first part of 2024.
Correct. That's right. So, and it'll have the same title, Bad Shepherds.
Bad Shepherds, and more on X or Twitter at Meg Basham. Megan, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks so much.
Up next, Stephen Naumann from Hillsdale's German department joins us. He'll take us on a brief tour of Germany and provide some tips and advice for those perhaps thinking about a trip. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. La Gloria Cubana Classic, a longtime favorite created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Are you ready for some scare fun? Well, then come join Redding Rotary Haunted House as a monolith on October 19th through the 22nd and October 26th through the 29th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Sponsored by Wind River, SPI, and Bud Light. There's going to be food trucks and beer trucks and lots of fun scares to be had. Tickets are available at the door or online at reddinghauntedhouse.org. If you'd like to also scare others, sign up at reddinghauntedhouse.org.
Hi, I'm Tim Scarborough, host of Shasta Outdoors. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, we bring to you each week guest news and information about the great outdoors. There are so many wonderful opportunities to get out there and enjoy hiking, kayaking, fishing, horseback riding, hunting, and the list goes on of things we get to enjoy in Northern California. Shasta Outdoors, Friday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. You can get an email every time there's a new episode of the program. Go to radiohour.hillsdale.edu, click subscribe, and enter your email address. That's radiohour.hillsdale.edu. We're joined by Dr. Stephen Naumann, Associate Professor of German at Hillsdale College. Dr. Naumann, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Great to be here.
Talking today about visiting Germany and giving some tips and giving some ideas, which is fitting because, as you told me before we started, you actually, was it a major, like travel and tourism in college?
Yes. I did a second undergrad degree at Western Michigan University and majored in German alongside of travel and tourism, which was pretty neat. It's always been something I've loved. I didn't know at that time what I wanted to do with German. In fact, you know, I tell my students this today. Never rule out teaching. It might be something you really find you love, but I actually went into a professor's office and asked, I don't know what I want to do, but I really want to do something with German. So what can I do with German, but not teach? So, you know, and lo and behold, you know, years later in grad school, it sort of dawned on me, like, this is what I want to do. And this is this is one of the great things you can do. I really enjoy it, so nice to be here.
You're our travel guide today as we trek a little yes. bit across Germany. How often have you been to Germany? Where do you like to go?
Yeah, so my first opportunity to go to Germany was when I was in high school. I went to a high school in Saginaw, Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and they had a program abroad. I got to spend a month traveling a little bit in Germany. We're 2 weeks in the southwest in the Rhineland-Pfalz, the region is called, the Rhineland-Palatinate in the southwest. Beautiful, beautiful area, so that's sort of a place near to my heart. I spent a semester there later on, and then got to go to Saxony. I have a lot of friends there. My family on my dad's side is from Dresden, so that's a city very near and dear to me. It's also a beautiful city. I definitely recommend visiting Dresden. It's sort of an art city, the Florence of the North in Germany, so if you're interested in art or sort of Baroque architecture, it's a great place to visit. Then I got to spend a year abroad in Berlin, which was 2004, 2005, and that was a year that really changed my life. It was Germany had just sort of started to get its feet underneath it since, you know, the fall of the wall and reunification. And so they're sort of holding their own fate in their own hands as a unified country, 15 years underway. And they had all these really fascinating decisions that were going on about, you know, monuments and how to remember things and how to, things from World War II history and things from the Cold War. And there were all these debates going on that the city was just the national, you know, they talked about, you know, the bird of Berlin is the crane, sort of the crane that the big metal cranes that are. So there was a lot of exciting monuments and construction projects going on at that time. And so Berlin's a place that I've spent time every year since then. And that's a place I love. But, you know, really, I don't limit it to any one place. And so we can talk about some other spots as well some favorites.
So why do you think our listeners should consider visiting Germany? Perhaps they've even made the decision, all right, we're going to go overseas. We're going to go to Europe somewhere. What sets Germany apart from other countries nearby?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question, and there's so many ways to answer it. There's such a rich, you know, cultural component, whether you're talking about music or architecture or art, sort of the German ingenuity, if you're interested in sort of engineering or the business world, you know, transportation, anything like that. You know, the history is, you know, unparalleled. You know, there's some very amazing moments and some dark moments, obviously, in German history. The museums are outstanding. And just to see some of those things, you know, firsthand is invaluable. It's just, and there's something about being in a place that helps you to understand history and, you know, the human experience better. And Germany is one thing I think that makes Germany unique is its history. You know, for so long, you know, along with Italy, it's one of the late nations. There was really no Germany until 1871. And so for a long time, that's why German regional identity is very strong. It's not like France or Poland or the U.S. where the national identity is king. In Germany, you're a Bavarian or a Saxon or a Rhinelander first, and then you're a German. And so that's a result of, you know, centuries of being part of this Holy Roman Empire. And so that's just a fascinating part of European history as well. And Germany's been at the center of it. And so, you know, in beyond just their contributions in all these areas that I mentioned, I think the way they're really geographically and in a lot of other ways sort of at the center of much of history. So if you enjoy history, you know, Germany's a place to visit. But, you know, like I said, the music, architecture, art as well, it's unparalleled.
If people are considering a trip to Germany, are there certain questions perhaps they should ask themselves before they make that decision?
Yeah, I think, you know, some questions on the practical side of traveling is sort of where. I mean, it's not a country that you can see. It's easy to get around in, but it's not a country that you can see, you know, you have to go to these three cities in a week or something like that, or let's go to these six cities. I would say I try to encourage people to think that less is more sometimes, and, you know, save something for the next time. Try to, you know, if you're going for 2 weeks, maybe three cities or three sort of spots that you stay, and then you can get a little more out of that, get a richer understanding of those places. And there's just such a list instead of, you know, packing up your bags every day or two and heading somewhere else, because there's so much to see. It can be overwhelming, but I would try to regionalize it and say, okay, these are some highlights, and not to try to do everything at once. Another thing to consider is maybe train versus car. I think that's, North Americans tend to ask that a lot. I always travel by train. It's so easy. There are a lot of ways to do it. It can be pretty affordable. And, you know, if you're comfortable doing that, I think it's easier. Gas is a lot more expensive there than it is here, and it's hard to park. And I think having a car is sometimes a burden. Mm. And the other thing about German cities, and we can talk about these in a bit, German cities are a lot different than American cities in that the center of the city is less industrial. It's more historical. Most cities have some sort of law or regulation that you can't build anything higher than the cathedral, mm-hmm. or the castle on the hill, or the Rathaus or something like that. And so the skyline, as it were, is much more preserved. And with the exception of Frankfurt, which is sort of the German and European banking capital, there isn't this sort of glass and steel American skyline. And so what that has done is kept the center of the cities in Germany much more pedestrian friendly. And we've seen sort of a renaissance in certain cities in the U.S. or certain parts of certain cities, but the centers in Germany are much less industrial, and they're just, that's the place you want to be most of the time as a visitor. And they're just, it's easy to get around in. And yeah, I think that's something to keep in mind. So, but you know, some people like to have, if you're going to certain places that are, you know, maybe not quite as accessible, you know, a car might be practical as well. So,
Dr. Stephen Naumann is with us, Associate Professor of German at Hillsdale College. He's our tour guide as we talk about visiting Germany in this conversation. You talked a little about the bigger cities in Germany, and well, Berlin is the biggest. You've been to Berlin many times. How would someone traveling to Berlin, say, find these differences between there and if they've been to New York City or been to Chicago, perhaps?
Yeah, so Berlin is really interesting in that it's a city that grew very quickly in the 19th century. So the thing about Berlin is it's not as old as a lot of other cities in Germany, or Austria for that matter. If you look at Vienna, Köln, Trier, you know, these are old sort of Roman colonies that go way, way back. Frankfurt, München, Nuremberg, there's a lot of cities that were much more significant in the Middle Ages. And Berlin sort of came onto the scene later. It's actually pretty inexpensive for a European capital because, you know, after the war, there was the Cold War, and it's just sort of starting to pick up again and get, I mean, it's been trendy for a while, but the motto of Berlin was always arm aber sexy, which means sort of cheap but sexy, cheap but exciting, cheap but there's a lot to do there. There's mm-hmm. a lot to see, so it's unparalleled in that way, but it's not, yeah, it's not the authority that sort of a New York or a Paris yeah. or a London is.
We'll pause there. Dr. Stephen Naumann with us from Hillsdale's German department. Our tour continues in a moment. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. La Gloria Cubana Classic. A longtime favorite, created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper.
Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Join Tolkien's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tolkien's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Stephen Naumann from Hillsdale's German department, taking us on a tour of Germany, some tips and advice as well for those considering a trip. Dr. Naumann?
If people are interested in history, you were telling me that sometimes it's better to focus on some of the mid-sized cities than the larger cities in Germany.
Yes, that's true. So Germany is interesting, too. I mean, there's 83 million people. It's the biggest country population-wise that's wholly in Europe, so excluding Russia and Turkey, and it's really well distributed. And so there are a lot of cities. There's not a giant city. Berlin's, right, you know, 3-4 million people, but you know, Hamburg's just under 2, Munich's 1.3, 1.5. But there are a lot of cities, about 500,000, 600,000, that are just really culturally rich and interesting. You know, Nuremberg and Bremen and Leipzig and Dresden and, you know, Hannover and Dortmund, and you can go on and on. There's, you know, a dozen of them. And so it's really distributed. But one thing that's interesting, too, because of World War II, much of Germany was bombed from the air. And so most cities that are larger than 100,000 people were damaged significantly in the center. Now, a lot of that, most of that's been rebuilt. And, you know, those cities are very worth seeing, but those smaller cities that are under 100,000 are some of my favorites. I think there's just a lot of hidden gems, and you can see, you know, yeah, cities that go back to the Middle Ages, the early modern period. There's just a lot to see. So, you know, there's university towns like Freiburg is one of my favorite cities. It's in the southwest in the Black Forest region. It's a university town. You know, Heidelberg is another favorite, so the oldest university in Germany, a beautiful, beautiful city in the southwest as well. Marburg is this sort of old academic town. Görlitz is on the German-Polish border, another city off the beaten path, but it just really thrived in the Renaissance era, and there are so many, you can do a walking tour there, and there are so many beautiful interiors of homes that they don't have, that are just like Renaissance buildings, you know, thick walls and beautiful courtyards and ceilings that they say, you know, just walk into them, just pop in, and people will invite you in, show you around. And, you know, there's not enough museums in that small town to, you know, occupy them all. So people just live there. And so there's a lot of films that have been, you know, set in Europe and shot in that city, in recent years. But there's, you know, there's Greifswald and Lübeck in the north, you know, beautiful sort of Hanseatic cities on the Baltic Sea. You know, Weimar is a city with a lot of history and culture. If you like literature, right, this is Goethe and Schiller. Jena close by, there's a lot of thinkers there, and in the 19th century in Germany, late 18th century, philosophy, culture, romanticism, a lot of those things.
We Americans make the decision to travel to Germany. Are there any phrases or any American behaviors that perhaps we should avoid because they're not common or not acceptable in Germany?
I wouldn't say anything that's not acceptable, but, you know, some things that tend to make Americans stand out. We love to wear, you know, clothing, T-shirts, sweatshirts that show us, like, tell other people where we're from or mm-hmm. what school we went to or this or that. So that's sort of an American thing. And I think Americans, you know, they sometimes have the reputation of being a little more friendly and outgoing in public, and sometimes are a little louder. So, you know, those aren't bad things, but they're just things that will get you recognized. If you want to blend in a little more, you could be a little more subtle. But they're really, I mean, travel is just a great place to meet people and interact with people. And you'll find that Germans, that, you know, if they find out, oh, you know, you're from the U.S., they're fascinated. Germans love reading the news. They're very informed, and they're very curious, and they love, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations where they just are picking my brain, you know, what about this or that or this from American culture, politics, history, I think those are some of the things that make travel so rewarding, are those exchanges, those personal exchanges, you know, getting to know people.
No matter where you go in Germany, are there certain foods, beverages, beers that you've got to try?
Absolutely. I mean, I would start with the bakeries in Germany. The bakeries are unbelievable. So there's a law in Germany that prohibits supermarkets from being open on Sunday or in the evening after a certain hour. I think it's 10 o'clock now, unless it's attached to a train station. So, you know, on Sunday, the only thing that's open are cultural places and restaurants but bakeries. So bread is sort of holy, and there's a reason for that. The bread is just unbelievable. the more I spend time in Germany, the more embarrassed I am about what constitutes or what qualifies as bread in the United States. And, you know, fortunately there are some good breads around, but they're not as ubiquitous over here. But you just walk into a German bakery and, you know, if you haven't been in one before, it may change your life. There are so many delicious types of breads and rolls, and it's just the centerpiece of the breakfast and the small supper that is part of German culture. By the way, if you stay at hotels, don't miss the buffet. you can stay at sort of a modest sort of family run Gasthof or sort of a pension sometimes, and there is just a buffet that I don't know. I think the first couple of times I stayed somewhere, my brother and I, we you know, it was like 2-3 hours and we're still like, well, we haven't tried everything at the breakfast. So, you know, I think those are things that are good. Obviously the sausage, the cheeses, are just amazing. And of course every region has different variations of that. And the beer, as you mentioned, it's a beer country. The beer is just such a part of the culture, and there are so many different variations of that. I love the alt beer from the Dusseldorf region. Pilsners in the north are very, very good. Hefeweizen from Bavaria in the south, or just a Märzen, like an Oktoberfest style beer from Munich, that's the beer capital. Those are amazing. You know, Hefeweizen is great on a summer day. So besides the beer, the wine, the wine is outstanding too in the southwest and the Main region where Würzburg is located from a study abroad program there. And, you know, white wines are very good. Döner kebab is an interesting, sort of fast food thing that's everywhere in Germany because of, the Turkish German population. This is something that developed, it's similar to Greek, like a gyros, mm-hmm. but it's something that Turks developed in Germany using sort of German or Northern European vegetables with this Turkish concept. So that's pretty popular.
One final quick question for you. You told me before we started, your favorite German word is a word that essentially means like longing for travel. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So there's a German word called das Heimweh, which means homesickness, pining for home. And we have that concept in English, right? Every culture has a word for homesickness. That's pretty ubiquitous. But Germans have this word, it's my favorite word in the language, it's called Fernweh. So this is a pining for being far away, for being abroad. And part of, I think, very close, it's just indicative of the German soul. The German thinking is travel. They love the outdoors. They love green spaces. They love being in nature. They love traveling. And Germans travel more days out of their country per capita than any other country in the world. And so they are the kings of travel. And there's a healthy cycle that comes along with that. If you travel and you go abroad, you're gonna experience this homesickness, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a healthy thing. You miss where you're from. You miss your own home. You miss your own kitchen. You miss certain things about your own culture. You want to come back to those and you really appreciate them more. But if you stay there for 12 months, you know, you're going to get sick of them. And so Germans are really good at that. And so I think they can inspire us to think that way and want to travel. And so, you know, I think their country is a great place to do that. Obviously, Austria, Switzerland have a lot to offer as well, culturally, historically, and in terms of nature as well. So, but that, you know, think about that word, Fernweh, pining for travel, pining for being away, and associate that with Germany. It's just one of many, many, many fascinating things you'll learn by traveling, engaging with the language, and just seeing what's out there, exploring, and then you're going to appreciate coming back to where you're from.
Dr. Stephen Naumann, Associate Professor of German here at Hillsdale College, at our tour guide through visiting Germany. Dr. Naumann, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks so much, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to John J. Miller, head of the Dow Journalism Program at Hillsdale College, Megan Basham from the Daily Wire, and Stephen Naumann from Hillsdale's German Department. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. The assistant producer of the program is Sam Lair. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hey, it's Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dursch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road, and we're excited to celebrate our fourth anniversary here at Laux Landscape Supply. So October 20th through the 29th is your chance to save big on products like 50-pound Dimension Pre-Emergent, on sale for $32.99 a bag, or our popular Garden Power Soil for only $51.99 a yard. Great timing to put in sod, and it's on sale as low as 71 cents a square foot. Or how about the new Mocha Lava Rock, reduced to $79.99 a yard? Building a patio or walkway? Artisan Slate Paver are on sale for $3.99 a square foot. Ranger Pro Concentrate in a 2.5-gallon jug is only $79.99, and even cheaper if you buy two. These are just a few of the items you'll find on sale at Laux Landscape Supply October 20th through the 29th at the corner of Dursch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Give us a call at 530-378-2220. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com, or just come see us at 6023 Turn Creek Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.